This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the new GTLD Subject and Procedure Subteam Track 1, Overall Process Support and Outreach Issue, held on the 19th of December, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-leader, Krista Taylor. Please begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for skipping out on Christmas shopping to join us. This is Krista Taylor for the record. First of all, I guess we'll start off to see if anyone has any updates to their SOI, and if so, to either please chat or add it to the chat or speak up and let us know. Seeing nothing and no hands, I'll continue on. On slide number 2, we have today's agenda. Today, we have a little bit of an overview again from the timeline, just as a place marker from last time. And we're going to be going through the systems, communications, and application queuing. Then we'll do any other business and give a little update on the next meeting. So looking at slide number 3, it's the same timeline as the previous meeting, just kind of giving us an update of where we're at and where our focus is in the next couple months. And we do have some other, I guess, a newsletter or some information that we will be sharing after this to make sure that we can continue to meet the deadlines. So jumping into the first topic, which is on slide number 4, which is systems. And the issue that was posed to us was, how can the systems used to support the new GTLD programs, such as TAS, the centralized zone data service portal, et cetera, be made more robust, user-friendly, and better integrated? And as per the final issue report, some of the considerations included minimum set of security infrastructure standards, and there were several systems that applicants had to utilize throughout the application process. Many of them had different logins and presented a very different user experience. So members of the DG suggested a more integrated set of applicant-facing systems that would be more friendly and had a better, robust approach. Moving to slide number 5, some of the recommendations that we've discussed before were the obvious one here, the security and stability improvements with more robust user testing, better integrated systems, adequate time for system development to provide a test environment before going live, the ability to use non-ASCII characters, the ability for the systems to create automated invoices for those parties who wanted one for their any kind of fees related to their application, tracking capabilities to allow users to confirm information that has been saved. They also wanted live support functionality, grouping of applications in order to reduce the number of messages received. And I think, and there was a question on here of, I believe it was automated return email addresses. Additionally, secondary points of contact to receive communications, provide user transparency on application or registry data, allow for different levels of access, and the ability to update application documentation and information rather than having to cut and paste it into a form. So, the consensus I think we have to date on here is, and I'm just trying to summarize this, was the system should be integrated and undergo extensive robust testing to ensure their stability and security of data is properly protected. while ensuring sufficient development time along with testing environment should be employed. Additionally, focus on improving the transparency of submitted information and user experience, including the ability to use non-ASCII characters, live support, which this is also overlapped into the systems area, and so that's kind of duplicated. Group applications, being able to group applications together, standard response email addresses with perhaps an autoresponder, ability to receive automated invoices, tracking capabilities, and confirmation of updated or saved information. Along with the ability to update information and documentation in multiple fields without having to copy and paste, and add secondary context to receive communication, along with the ability to grant access to different users related to the application. So that was just kind of my first attempt at trying to summarize it all into one without leaving anything out. So while doing that, a couple of questions that I thought might be interested or that we should maybe cover off or provide additional feedback was whether there's a means to provide answers to questions and have them disseminated across all applications being supported, and how would we do that? So, for instance, if one company has perhaps multiple applications, do we want them to be able to do that? Which I think that is a little easy to understand. But then what would happen if there's, say, multiple companies, but they're still the same kind of management company that's overseeing a bunch of different companies? So that's one question I'm not sure if we want to address or not, but I thought I would bring it up. And secondly, how need clearly defined context for particular questions. And I think that was brought up somewhere, but we didn't really kind of put it into words if we want that and how we would, I guess, suggest that. So looking for some kind of feedback there. Steve says the program implementation review report has some information on it, and he's referenced the document. And Maxine says the last time systems were not very secure. Is it possible to add wording? Thank you. Around separation of information received from different logins. I would think that would be in it, and that would also tie into the transparency and the updating of information and being able to track it. So I think I can make that, or we can add that so that it's a little bit more wordy to detail that out. And I also noted it was a large-scale issue. Yes. Any other comments or feedback, adjustments, ideas around system recommendations? Do we agree with the consensus on slide 6? Is there anything that we don't like? Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin from Newstart. So this is just a general question which Maxim might be able to answer better than most, but I understand that ICANN has made a number of improvements to their systems and they're doing a new portal. So I just wondered to what extent can we acknowledge that in the work that we do, whether we can point to that as, you know, positives and an indication that perhaps some of the concerns that happened during the first round are actually being addressed. So I just wonder whether that's something that we can possibly acknowledge as part of this work.
Thanks, Donna. I think we could probably do it through policy, and this one is a little bit more hands-on than the other ones. But we didn't really have anything else that we could add. But I think some of the other discussions actually have more information on it and more pros and cons. So we can revert back and add some more positive language on there on the improvements that they have done. Maxine says, as I understand, the current portal is going to accept information of applicants and not just registries like now. And it is full of issues and testing was a failure. Almost nothing was fixed after it. So I am really pessimistic about the improvements done. Well, on the flip side, we could skip that whole positive part. and we participated in the pilot. So at least, you know, they are engaging with the community and hopefully they've learned from that. So I guess what kind of policy, what additions can we add to the policies that might assist in that would be the question. Maxine says again, the engagement without learning, and just says, I do not believe the new portal can handle receipt of application data. Maxine says, was the last time, which was in the autumn. So I'll give it another second here, and if not, we'll jump into our next topic. And we can always revert back and we can always add, I guess, additional policy wording to hopefully improve it to make sure that the same mistakes aren't repeated. And Maxine says, even that import of data from the old GDD portal was not done properly. Steve, please go ahead.
Thanks, Krista. This is Steve Chan from staff. And in regards to the report, the program implementation review report that I linked to, I just wanted to flag a couple of the summary conclusions from that document. I think one of which is already captured, where it suggests that adequate timelines be provided to ensure that the system is developed in a robust manner. But the second one is about exploring beta testing. I think that's been touched on, but I guess I just wanted to highlight the two things from that report. So the second one I think was highlighted in the first round, but, you know, it's being flagged again by ICANN staff as something that is probably important for the future. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. And it does actually tie in to our systems part of it. So I was trying to keep it a little bit separate, but your points are bang on, and there is overlap there. Jeff, I see you have your hand raised, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. On the beta testing, which I think is a good recommendation, I think there was a feeling, and maybe Kurt can address this if I'm misremembering, but a bunch of us had volunteered to do some beta testing, but ITIME had viewed it as if they had let us do the beta testing, it would have given us, in theory, a preferential treatment because we would have seen what the system's like, and in their minds would have put us ahead of other applicants, I guess. I don't know if we want to tackle that issue, if we care, but I do think if we're going to recommend the beta testing, it should specify our views from a policy perspective as to whether we agree with that notion that it has to be completely done by independent people, or it really doesn't matter because it's beta testing anyway.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Krista again for the record. I'll make a flag for the systems that we kind of revisit that and see if we want to add any other policy perspectives to it. For now, maybe I'll jump in a second topic, Maxine, sorry, please go ahead.
Maxime Alzoba for the record. I think we need to add another note saying that the system shouldn't add new legal requirements on its own. I mean, we have enough of established policies. Most probably it's going to be AGB number 2 or something. And what we experienced with the new system last time is creation of some click-through agreement with quite huge legal powers. And since it's purely implementation, not approved by anyone, actually, it will create obstacles. Additional financial burden, for example, you are not allowed to use the system until you pay another 5,000K or something. It's just example. And since we experienced it in real life, I think we need to add this explicitly, that the system shouldn't add new legal requirements to the application.
Thanks, Maxim. That's a great point, and I'll make sure we add it in there as well. So thank you. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I understand and appreciate in concept what Maxim is saying, but in fact, if there is a new system, there may need to be or will need to be some new terms of use which may impose legal requirements. I'm not sure if Maxim is objecting to legal requirements specifically or any terms. But in any case, I think we can express concern and reflect on what happened previously, but it's unrealistic to suggest that a new system could be put in place and yet not have any, recitation of legal privileges, obligations, and issues. I think we shouldn't, say something that, would in essence be that unrealistic, even understanding that what we'd like to do is to minimize the effect and have a light touch and avoid, unintended consequences. All of that makes sense, but just saying that there can't be any new legal obligations is kind of is an absolutist position that we'll ultimately end up having to back away from. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. It's Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, so this is Jeff Newman. I think what Maxime's saying, Greg, is that any legal terms and conditions should be known up front in the AGB to the extent possible, because what ICANN has done historically and what they're doing even today, I just got off of a call with them on behalf of the registries, talking about new terms and conditions on the new portal where ICANN is trying to create for themselves additional rights with respect to the data, additional disclaimers and reps and warranties that have nothing to do with the third party providing the system, but everything to do with getting an end around on certain things that they're not allowed to do under the registry agreement. So the point is not that there can't be any legal terms and conditions. It's that everything needs to be known up front, in advance, and that each party knows what it's getting into. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba. Yes, the idea is if there are some special click-through agreements or special legal requirements to the new system, it should be finalized before the process. So, for example, I can add to AGB something like the additional legal requirements for the AGB, for the applicants, could be found in Annex A to the AGB, for example. We know it in advance. We can see if it fits our, business models, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm strongly against changing it on the fly, effectively making something like bait and switch. Thanks.
Thank you. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton again. And I think that's a better phrasing and understanding of this, and I would probably add something about that there shouldn't be the unilateral imposition of new obligations or terms and conditions. So, in addition to both the timing of it, it should also be a negotiated process and not just a one-sided take it or leave it set of terms. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Moving on to the next topic, and I've noted that we'll circle back and add that to the AGB part of the discussions and include that going forward as well. So we can, we'll circle back to that once we get back to that topic again. Jumping onto slide 8, we have communications. And the issue that was posed to us was to examine access to and content within knowledge base as well as communication methods between ICANN and the community. And the implementation guidance related to communication methods, goals for communications, success criteria, and other elements. And whether we would reach out or potentially reach out to the GDD team and see whether they have any statistics on their ability to achieve service level agreements and metrics to help the PDP working group understand, for instance, what elements of the program may have induced the most customer support cases. And there was some outreach there, targeting groups or sectors, communication methods, as well as metrics to help identify the communication plan was effective. The working group may also want to consider what themes should be conveyed and to what parties, as it may be beneficial to customize messaging based on the need of particular demographics. So we never really kind of circled back, or we never really engaged and looked at the GDD reports. So moving on to slide 9, this is just kind of an overview of some of the statistics out of, I want to say it's a program review, but I don't have the exact document in front of me, but I put the link there. So this is looking at, they went through a history of it all. So the first part was, once the application window was closed, there were two types of inquiries. First of all, it was a status of specific applications and inquiries regarding the updating program processes. And that was on page 201 of the document I was just referencing. And the second part was once extended evaluation began, applicants had the ability to schedule phone calls to discuss specific issues regarding their application. So we can see here the number of inquiries and what they were related to on slide number 9. And obviously, we can see here almost over, probably around 2,200 of them were TLD application status. So that might give us some ideas on maybe systems or what type of customer service we should have to make sure that the right tools are there and people are receiving the right kind of information in an efficient manner. Jumping to slide 10. We can see how the customer service volumes changed over, say, the 3 years. So in 2012, we have a whole bunch of queries just during the application window. Then we have the second half of 2012, where it was the upcoming processes, contention set resolution, and objectives. And then in 2013, we have the application change requests regarding CQs and COIs. Then, I'm not trying to go through here quickly. I'm just trying to give a little bit of a background in hopes that it kind of feeds into some ideas. So on slide 11, we have the number of days to last response. And this is just a note on April 17, 2013, the new customer portal was launched, and we can see the average days in that orange bar, so to speak. And this is just how long it took between responses, so it doesn't mean it was necessarily resolved. However, on slide 12, we can see the actual number of days to close the case. So the target was 7 days or sort of going back, the customer service provides communication to applicants within 7 days of the last communication, and there was a positive trend and exceeded the target at least 70% of the time between November 2014 and July 2015. And then the number of days to close the case, the target was 7 days, and they met this target 80% of the time between November 2014 and July 2015. And we can see again the growth pattern there with that nice orange line. And then jumping to slide 13, we can see the number of cases resolved without escalation outside of the customer service team. The target was 60%, and this was met between November 2014 and July 2015. So I don't, and I could be wrong on this, and somebody feel free to correct me, is I don't think they had any targets when they started, and that was added after the fact. So now going back into where we're at in our progress and our discussions to date is on slide 14, which is to date we've discussed that the knowledge database should be more timely and searchable, should have improved communication on applicant advisories, i.e. there should be a subscription service, consolidation of program information into a single site, leverage the global stakeholder engagement team to promote global awareness. Additionally, metrics to measure successful communication levels were not established, and the applicant support program was highlighted as an area of weakness. Additionally, allow applicants to be notified of new developments, processes, and procedures, including information that is germane to their own applications. The ICANN portals to allow submission of confidential application questions with stated response times. Use of a general helpline and searchable FAQ type of web page. And finally, organize regional teams within the underserved regions to help educate and inform potential applicants to ensure they have the right contact information, including RFP and applicant support programs. So kind of taking that all in, and hopefully we're on the right track here. So the consensus to date has been kind of just summarizing exactly what I just said. The web-based knowledge base should be easily searchable with timely updated information. Additionally, applicants should be provided with the option to opt in to a subscription service on applicant advisories or new developments, processes, and procedures pertinent to their application. Timely and updated expected response time should be clearly displayed on the website. Program information should be contained within one website. And I'm not sure if this was related to specifically the search function. I did go back into some of the discussions, and I couldn't find that part where we discussed it. So I guess clarifying around that would be good. We also had use of a general helpline and online tools such as live support function would allow to help improve communications. And contact information, regional teams employed in underserved regions should be easily attainable to help educate any potential applicants, including RFP and applicant support programs. And this overlaps, of course, with the applicant support program section that we're also dealing with. Maxim, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. As for the slide 15, and program information should be contained within one site, the reason for that is that the last time, frequently asked questions, clarifications, news were spread over a few websites, and we had to find it. We used blogs. We emailed each other, applicants. So it was the reason for request to contain everything on one site and make it searchable. And the second theme is about SLAs. It's not just SLAs. It's also a prioritization what is required. Like, if the issue affecting all applicants, it should be given first priority, like the application system non-working or helpline just stopped answering calls or things like that. And second grade, like, large amount of applicants affected, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it will allow to fix things faster, actually. Thanks.
Thanks. That's helpful, and we'll circle back and do prioritization to, I guess, the bigger issues or the ones that, I guess, have the biggest impact and impacts the most people. So we can add that in there as well. And I don't know about anybody else, but I know when I was submitting questions, sometimes on the slide where they were measuring the gap between responses, the response was so short that it wasn't actually answering the question. So all it did was, it might got them a tick box saying they did respond, but all it did was I had to reply again with a different wording of the questions, trying to get an adequate response to help solve the issue. So I'm not sure if anyone else had that issue, or maybe it was just my own feeling from it. Maxim, is that old or new?
Maxim, also for the record, it's new hand. Also, there is a need of escalation procedure, like simple, where applicant explains why, for example, the current manager handling their case is not capable of doing that, etc. Because we had issues like that. And simple, transparent system in which the party clearly should explain why they believe that the current resolution of the case is not, is not fine or is not okay or against rules or whatsoever. And without it, we might face an unequal approach to different applicants. Thanks.
Great. So you're suggesting that maybe there's transparency around the escalation processes. Is that a fair assessment? You're typing. Jeff, sorry, I see you have your hand, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. It's Jeff Newman again. This is another area where it may help to provide guidance, policy guidance, on the ability of ICANN to answer questions without feeling like it's favoring one applicant over the other. So often the port would take a while because they would have to take the question. They would have to figure out an answer. They'd have to draft an advisory on the answer and then send out the answer to everyone at the same time and post it on their site so that, again, there was this to fight off the perception that they were treating one applicant more favorably than others. So we need to come up with a recommendation that both allows for adequate support to be provided in a timely manner, but also in a way that makes sure that everybody is notified of an answer to a question that may impact others that perhaps they're answering for the first time. But we really should put something in there that addresses that.
Thanks, Jeff. So you're suggesting, you know, perhaps there's some kind of system or something in place where people can sign up for certain, say, keywords or just updates or something similar to that, or would that make sense? Would that solve that issue and still be somewhat efficient?
Yeah, Jeff.
Oh, go ahead.
I was thinking it was sort of related to that subscription service that you had on there in the first recommendation, where that subscription would allow you to get the answers to all the questions that were submitted that day or something like that, to provide some mechanism to get the responses out to everybody, because if one applicant had the question, many did, and that might also cut down on the time it takes, or at least the hesitancy of ICANN staff to provide an answer.
Sorry, I think I was on mute. Sorry, I'm just reading the chat at the same time. Applicants know with already open information, it saves time of the support team. So I don't see any other items on communication, so we'll take the information that everyone provided today, and we'll add it and also jump into the next topic. So, Sarah, I think I get to turn over to you now. Sorry.
Thanks, Krista. And this is Sarah Bakke for the record. So our next topic is on slide 17, application queuing. And so as noted here, the issue that was posed to this working group was to review whether first-come, first-served guidance remained relevant, and if not, whether another mechanism would be more appropriate. And so there were several reasons for implementing a different processing methodology than what was recommended in the 2007 final report, which was first come, first serve. And those reasons were trying to avoid potential issues such as applicants rushing to complete applications and possibly forsaking quality, favoring applicants most familiar with process and requirements, favoring applicants who are located closer to ICANN servers, and creating the possibility of a self-inflicted distributed denial of service attack as applicants rush to click the submit button first. So in looking at this question and the processes and methodologies, you can go to slide 18, and this is sort of the feedback we've had to date in our discussions. I think we've all come to the conclusion that if there is queuing needed, that we support some sort of prioritization draw or raffle, and that we weren't so keen on the idea of digital archery. Also noted that we should allow applicants to choose which of their applications should be prioritized within the queuing process. So if you have someone who is submitting, 10 or 5 or even 2, we should let them say which one they want to go first. And while there's been no consensus on prioritization, we have had some discussions regarding starting with rounds, possibly having some sort of hybrid that goes from rounds into a continuous state. And so if we start with a round, do we support randomization without prioritization? And if the process transition to continuous, will there be no need for queuing? So some of the working members have expressed that applications that are at low risk of contention should receive prioritization. As well, some members have suggested that it would be helpful to have data about whether prioritization of IDN applications met the stated goals in the 2012 round, and I don't know if we have that yet. Steve, do you recall pulling that information or not? Now you see there's a little bit of chat in the chat room. Maxim has noted that randomization favors large portfolio applicants, and Alexander has noted that simply generating random code at application submission and then have an algorithm that creates queue. And Maxim further noted that it favors large portfolio applicants without additional rules. Okay, I see a few more people typing. But continuing on to slide 19, so sort of reiterating in more of a consensus idea what was in the last slide. So to date, our consensus items appear to be that applicants who wish to have their application prioritized may choose to participate in a random draw, and if an applicant has more than one application, they may choose to alter the priority number assigned to that application. Applicants who choose not to participate in the draw will be processed after the prioritized applicant. Assignment of a priority number is not the processing of the application and does not necessarily reflect when the TLD will be delegated. And if application windows become a continuous process, then the applications considered low risk should be given priority. I'll pause here. It looks like we have a few more comments in the chat. Ruben has noted, I think we should avoid using process in describing prioritization, but use released. This way the processing can be most efficient as it can be, and the prioritization can apply to later stages. Maxim has noted, and then if there's only random number and no additional rules, it makes life better to those who have more applications. And Steve has asked me, can you repeat what you and WorkTrack One want further data on? Yes, I think it was, there was a note in here regarding whether or not the prioritization of the IDN applications, if we have data on if it met the goals that were set forth in the 2012 round. So I guess it's what data we have regarding the prioritizing IDN applications and if it meets the goals that we thought it would meet. Looking at the chat again. From Rubens, we have Alexander. I believe the solution you described violates California law. Jeff has noted, I'm not sure what would be considered low risk. Maxim has said gambling with random outcome. Jeff has noted that I'm not sure that there were goals set. Thought it would be a good bone to throw out for those that oppose the new GTLDs. Okay, that's interesting. So does anyone else have comments? Do you generally agree with these consensus items that we have? Is there anything that you think we need to change? Anything you want to add to it? I see Steve has noted, okay, maybe we can formulate that into a fully formed quest, and then WorkTrack One can help determine if it's something it needs to explore. Jeff, I see you've raised your hand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure asking what the goals were now is very helpful, but I think what we'll see from the data is that even though the IDNs were prioritized, with a few exceptions, IDNs were not the first ones to launch. I'm not sure if that was the goal, to have them launch first, but because I don't think there was too much thought given by Fadi to what he really wanted to accomplish other than to make it maybe more palatable. But you know, with the exception of, and Donna was part of a group that launched Shabaka. I think I'm pronouncing that right. But, you know, I think even she'd tell you that other than that one, many other IDNs didn't really launch until well after a number of the ASCII ones that were prepared to go sooner.
Is Krista, Sarah, can you hear us? We can't hear you if you're talking.
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yep, go ahead.
Hello? Okay. Sorry about that. So moving on to slide 20, we did have a few questions that we were wanting to put towards the working group. The first thing, do we want to suggest a policy if a continuous application process is implemented? How should an application be prioritized? What about prioritization of a specific type of application, such as IDNs? How are applications that did not participate in the subsequent draw sequenced? So how are applications that were not, did not participate in the draw sequence, when submitted, other, so how do we, I guess, want to prioritize those? And, some of the working group members have suggested that it would be helpful to have data, regarding the IDNs, and we just had that discussion, so we can sort of, we've already discussed that topic. And made notes to consider that. I'm just looking at the chat. Donna has noted, rather than IDNs, should we give some preference to applications from the Global South? That's a very good point, Donna. Maxim has noted at Donna, I meant something like this by using the transparent process. And then Alexander has said Global South will be gained as tons of applicants use shell companies and tax havens. Also a very good point. Maxim has said maybe last time lots of offshore companies were from Europe, and Donna has noted quite possible, Alexander. Let's see if more people are still typing in the chat. If anyone would like to raise their hand, please feel free. Maxim, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
Maxim Mozoba, for the record. Actually, this issue of having multiple requests and not being able to process them at the same time is well resolved in networking industry. I mean, network hardware. And there is something called weighted fake queue, where effectively you have different sets of applications in our case, with different priorities. Well, for example, if GNSSOR and LAC and GEC approves the idea of, for example, support to the Global South, and in the process it's approved by board, then we have one of the group of applicants which have better priority, but they do not throttle the queue, because the persons and companies which will look through the applications, they have their capacity. It's quite limited. So we will not have to invent the wheel. We can use well-described algorithms. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. Hopefully everyone can hear me. Great, thank you, Krista. Rubens has also put in the chat, not creating high barriers, high application fees, and high reoccurring yearly fees is what would help the Global South without being gamed. And then Krista has asked, were IDN applicants who were given priority given a choice? And Maxim has stated to Rubens, it will be possible to rent out such registries after the process. And Alexander has noted low monetary entry barriers will create fun applications by wannabe registries. And Krista has asked, so are we against the prioritization of applications? If anyone wants to raise their hand on that, that'd be great. Or you can just type it in the chat. It's easier. Be several people typing, so I'll just let them. Donna, I see you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. To Krista's question about are we against prioritization of applications, I'm not sure we're saying that we're against it, but I think we might be suggesting that it's very difficult to work out how to prioritize applications. And to that extent, what do we gain by doing so? You know, IDNs was done in the last round, and it seemed to make sense at the time, but the realities of getting some of those TLDs up and running meant that the prioritization number they got in the draw wasn't particularly helpful. We also ran into other problems along the way because of the rollout of the new GTLD program, so that meant that, you know, some, particularly with GAC advice, a lot of applications were put on hold for a long period of time while that was sorted out. Those, you know, that escaped perhaps some of the more stringent safeguards probably went through ahead of time. So the applicability and the benefit of the prioritization draw that was initially scoped out, I don't think played out as folks thought it would. At the end of the day, you know, IDNs not so much because it didn't seem the registries were ready to go, but in the context of all the other applicants that were prioritized, there were implementation issues along the way that impacted that draw number. So people might have been able to jump ahead as a result of that. Others lag behind. So I guess it's a question of what do we hope to gain from prioritizing applications. I think based on the experience from last time, it wasn't, you know, all that terrific. Thanks, Krista. But having said that, I think prioritization we're talking about in terms of categories, but we need to find a mechanism to be able to at least know which is the first application that goes through the evaluation chain.
Great, thank you, Donna. That was very helpful, and hopefully you guys can hear me. And I see that Jeff also noted in the chat that no one has presented a compelling case for prioritizing any type of application. We should ask for feedback on this in the preliminary report. And a few other comments. Let me sort of scroll back up and see if the chat will let me do that. Maxim noted, Cressa, we are not against it. It should be done in a transparent manner using different priorities for approved groups of applications, if any. Greg has noted that in the spirit of the fall of net neutrality, we should sell prioritization. And Maxim has noted at Greg, some applicants actually sold their slots and congested the application. Greg has stated to Maxim, truth is better than fiction. Is that not the case? Anyway, I see that we're getting close to the top of the hour. We've got 2 minutes left, so if anyone else has input they'd like to give us on this topic of streams, please raise your hand now or maybe send it to the list. If you go to the final slide, slide 21, we have our next meetings listed there. You'll note that there is a second meeting in January, just a week after our first call that we're going to have on January 9 at 3 UTC. Due to the staff's, I won't call it a break, their working break that they are having, as well as NamesCon and some other events that are taking place at the end of January, it was going to happen that we were only going to have one meeting in January. And so to make sure that we were being productive and staying on top of our timeline, or we have added this second one a week later on January 16th at 20 UTC. So hopefully everyone will be able to join us for both of those calls and we can continue to make some progress here on all of these topics. With that, I will see if I don't see anyone putting any other business in the chat. So I wish you all a very happy holiday and a wonderful new year. And thank you for joining us and participating. Krista, do you have anything else?
Yeah, just one quick comment is we'll share a document. Sorry, there's a bit of reverb. We'll share a document with everyone on the email list that will hopefully help us get some more feedback and help us move forward on making some progress on some of the other areas. So feel free to review it and add any other comments. But that's it for me. And, again, thank you, everyone, and also have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest.